Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. A lot going on right now, and I can't think of a better guest to shed some light on that. There was a few announcements that were coming up, but I just want to tell people, go to the private invitation, eseti.com. If you want to find out, you know, more about upcoming events, we've got the conferences up there. We've got all kinds of activities coming up, self-mastery, ambassador trainings, and some wonderful speakers and other people, you know, amazing workshops coming up. Winston Shroud's going to be up there. I think Michael Tellinger and a few others. So that's all coming up at eSETI. So if you find out more, just go to private invitations, eSETI.com to find out more. Now, my guest tonight is Michael Sala, and he's a pioneer in the development of exopolitics, the political study of the key actors, institutions, and processes associated with extraterrestrial life. His interest in exopolitics evolved out of his investigation of the sources of international conflict and its relationship to an extraterrestrial presence that is not acknowledged to the general public, elected officials, or even senior military officials. He is an internationally recognized scholar in the international politics, conflict resolution, U.S. foreign policy, and is the author and editor of 10 books, including his just-released book, U.S. Navy's Secret Space Program and Nordic Extraterrestrial Alliance. In his latest book, he presents extensive documentation supporting the existence of a highly advanced U.S. Navy space program capable of interstellar travel. So with that being said, Michael, are you with us?
Hi, James. Great to be with you again.
Yeah. I mean, all of these are right up my alley here. You know, there's so many different areas we can go in here. But let's start off why I know you've been doing a lot of work with a fellow by the name of Bill Tompkins. And maybe you can cover some of that and, you know, and let us know why his testimony is so important in terms of, the U.S. Navy developing a secret space program.
Well, he's important because he has some solid documents that actually confirm some of what he's been saying. And what he's saying is really amazing. I mean, that he was involved in this Navy espionage program where they had Navy spies embedded within Nazi Germany's top aerospace programs to find out exactly what the Nazis were up to. And the things that these Navy spies were bringing back was just amazing. I mean, that the Nazis were developing really super advanced technologies, and some of these involved anti-gravity craft, the sort of thing that people have long suspected for a long, that these were some of the things that the Navy spies were bringing back. But, some of the other information, like the Nazis had actually were working with reptilian extraterrestrials. I mean, that was just kind of like amazing stuff. That this is the first time that there's been direct confirmation that Hitler was actually had made a deal with the devil, and that the Navy were basically aware of this, and that the Navy spies actually knew that there were reptilian consultants in these top Nazi aerospace programs helping the Nazis develop flying saucer craft, and that the Nazis had developed with the extraterrestrial help a total of 30 different anti-gravity vehicles that they were developing, and they were in various stages of development, and that they had these programs, that the Nazis had not just one but two programs, one in occupied Europe that was a kind of weaponization program, and the second was out of Antarctica, which was an interplanetary and interstellar program. So, the Nazis had two different programs running side by side throughout the Second World War. So, at the end of the war, even though the Germans lost in Europe, they still had their other program in Antarctica running right up until 1947 without any interruption at all. And that's where the Nazis made their biggest advances, and the Navy knew all about this during the Second World War, and Tompkins' job was to take information packets about what the Nazis were doing to different think tanks and aerospace companies, university departments, to see if anyone could help unravel exactly what the Nazis were up to and whether the U.S. could come up with an answer.
Interesting. Yeah, that's it seems like most of the funding does go, you know, the funding we don't know about, the trillions of dollars, goes through the Navy, and they are one of the key players in the secret space fleet. And from what I've heard from other whistleblowers, I guess we have massive ships up there, Solar Warden, all these other ones up there that are almost, you know, they're probably bigger than aircraft carriers.
Well, that's right. Some of these things are like kilometers long, and the Navy has been able to build these at its secret research facilities. And this is where, you know, it gets really interesting in terms of how the Navy were able to do this without the Air Force being involved. You know, and it's one of the things to kind of really historically appreciate, because, you know, most people, when they think of UFOs, extraterrestrial life, they think of the Air Force. They think of the Air Force having a secret space program. And, you know, that's partially true. But the thing to keep in mind here is that the Air Force really is the junior military service. All the other military services, you know, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Army, they go back centuries, really. They go back a long, long time, you know, right up to the beginning of the Republic. But the Air Force is really the baby of the military services, and really the big stuff. It was always the Navy handling the big stuff, and that the Air Force really ran what essentially was a cover program. I mean, that's really how we need to think about this. We really need to kind of get away from the idea that the Air Force was involved, you know, in terms of running the whole UFO secret space program. No, that's not true at all. What the Air Force had put together was only ever a cover program, and that the really major stuff was always run by the Navy, and that the Navy was in charge of the really big secret space program projects.
Now the Navy, are they the ones, they have that TR-3, that little triangular craft, I guess, and then they have I guess they have their saucers and other craft too, but you know, the Chevron ships that are up there, are you familiar with those, or who's behind
Right,
those, or who's
Well, there's different categories of these triangular shape. You know, with the TR-3B, you know, these are things that the Air Force were given access to. You know, these involve nuclear energy systems, which also have electrogravitics, which reduces the weight. And with the nuclear energy propulsion systems that they have, these TR-3Bs are able to kind of travel out of the atmosphere and do things in space. But the Navy has always had much more advanced technologies. The Navy's craft don't use nuclear energy. They're not reliant on nuclear energy. They have other forms of energy systems. Because the Navy was always being helped by a positive group of extraterrestrials, the Nordics, and I'll be happy to kind of spell that out a little bit more. So the Air Force had these TR-3Bs, triangular-shaped vehicles. But when you talk about the Chevron-shaped vehicles, these are things that are kind of much more recent innovation, and you know, people were trying to work out exactly where these powerful, very powerful Chevron or Delta-shaped kind of like anti-gravity craft came out of, and this appeared to be a kind of recent Russian innovations that the Russians have also been helped by a positive group of extraterrestrials to come up with these Chevron craft that took on some of the really big kind of teardrop-shaped craft that belonged to one of the corporate-run programs.
Yeah, I saw an article about that where I guess the elite or the Illuminati boys tried to take off, and I guess they're either going to go out in space or go back to some of their other colonies. And it didn't work out too well. And you know, that really ties into an edict that was given to them quite some time ago by the higher dimensional beings. And they basically said, you're done with, you know, enslaving the masses and hoarding the wealth, and you know, the uneven dispersal of wealth and destruction of the planet. You know, they gave an ultimatum. They said, if you don't clean up your act, there's going to be a global reset, and you're going to lose everything. And so, you know, they didn't know exactly what that meant. You know, does that mean a pole shift? Does that mean, you know, Planet Nibiru coming by and no shielding or what, you know, but they're such psychopaths. They chose not to do that, and now there's a what I call a transdimensional war going on between the elite and other beings that are not on in the highest and best good of humanity, the Earth, and you know, a major cleanup underway. Are you getting the same information?
I am, yeah. That is very much what I've been getting as well. That higher dimensional beings, or sixth to ninth density beings, just really super advanced consciousness-wise. That they don't need technology, but they understand advanced technologies, and that they have basically kind of come in and leveled the playing field. You know, stopped the the draconians in particular. And groups that were using these advanced ET technologies from getting reinforcements from outside of the solar system. So they kind of put a quarantine over the entire solar system, basically, you know, cutting off the draconian empire from their kind of material resources and reinforcements from elsewhere in the galaxy. So that meant that the ones that were here were kind of left stranded, and so then the major defections began, and so that's when the kind of empire or the imperial draconian resources here, the cabal, the corporate space fleet, suddenly started losing a lot of their resources. A lot of defections meant that intel was getting out to the good guys or the white hats, and they began attacking the kind of major bases of the draconians and the cabal, the corporations and so forth. So yeah, there's been a big change, and you know, exactly as you said, that you know, these guys were told, the cabal, the Illuminati were told, that you know, that their power was coming to an end, and they needed to kind of come up with a wise solution to you know, the problems that they've been causing, and that this was their chance to kind of like make good with the rest of humanity, that they have been systematically exploiting and kind of doing all terrible things for a long time, that this was an opportunity to make good. But, you know, as you said, that the, you know, that they have followed that path, you know, being psychopaths, that they have tried to get away with it, and they tried to escape, and that was blocked. And now they're kind of trapped, and they're trying to kind of get out of a very bad situation. But you know, the noose is tightening around them, and really, I don't think they have much time left.
Yeah, I was watching a video. We talked a little bit about it, and it was a guy by, I think he's called Sergeant Major. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, but Patty is what he goes by. And it showed a weather satellite, and he was overlaying the bases on the continents, you know, his where the bases were, and every spot where there were major hubs and the tunnel systems and everything else was glowing. It was on fire. It was amazing. And he said, look, he said, you know, he was saying the white hats, and I think the Galactics were involved in the Galactic Federation, and they were just totally taking these bases out, and they were all glowing. And he was kind of laughing. He says, look, somebody kicked the ant nest, you know, and they're all scurrying, you know, to get out of there. And they had ships coming down to pick them up. And he had video of that. And the ships seemed to be getting destroyed as well, you know, and they're kind of like reptilian cruisers and things like that. But now there's other reports, which I can't confirm, you know, it's on YouTube, that are showing all kinds of debris coming out of the sky, and it's coming down fast and hard, you know, and it's hitting in some lakes and other places, and huge splash. I mean, it's smoking, and you can tell it's got a lot of velocity to it. I don't think that could have been faked, you know, but pieces of these ships seem to be falling, you know, falling all over the U.S. and probably other countries as well. I don't know if you've seen some of those.
Well, I've heard reports about the bases being taken out and the advanced technologies that the white hats in you know, the U.S. and also in Russia in particular have been given advanced technologies that have neutralized the kind of offensive edge that the cabal, the corporations, and the and the Draconians had, and because of the defections, because of the leaks, it means that their kind of material resources, their bases, their personnel, their financial resources are literally collapsing. And so, I'm hearing that that now the White Hat is, they're sending in all of these Marines, special forces to take out these bases, and basically they're fighting now, the Cabal's kind of final bases, joint bases with the Reptilians, and there are stories of these Marines that are going in there to clean up these Cabal bases, and they're kind of fighting against these Reptilians, so it's causing these guys a lot of kind of trauma, because they're told go down there, clean out this base, and all of a sudden they fighting against these 8 foot tall Reptilians. But they've been equipped to be able to handle that, and they do their job. But ultimately it's like we got the White Hats have the resources, they have the kind of military on side, and they're just kind of systematically going through removing all of the power bases, and also in space as well, that's happening as well. So, I think we really have some major revelations coming down the road, and people are going to be really shocked when they hear about the magnitude of what's been happening.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to cover. I don't think they can hide this anymore. It's just too big. And also, too, what I'm seeing is I was telling people some of the chaos we're starting to see, the social, economic, and political chaos and everything else we're seeing are all a byproduct of the other things that are happening. One, with the new consciousness and energy and the higher dimensional beings bringing their energy in, as well as the cleanup, it's going to be creating some major changes on every level. And there's kind of like a little bit of an economic war going on. There's everything going on with the global reset, and I'm very involved in that. I can't talk too much about it, but I know people that are going to the meetings, and it seems that the U.S. are the only ones dragging their feet. Like, all the other countries have come into agreement on this big global reset and everything, and we've got to get our act together and put some pressure on our leadership to sign this thing, because this is going to eliminate, the feds and the global elite and the banksters. It's going to end that reign over humanity, which is going to be a huge, all those resources that they were siphoning off are going to go back into humanitarian things and infrastructure and things like that.
Right. Yeah. There's really a lot of big things that are coming now, and people really need to kind of be open to things like a financial reset, like kind of new technologies being released. One of the things I'm noticing now, the media is starting to talk a lot more about anti-aging technologies. That now they're talking about pills coming on the commercial market, within 3 years, that basically can reverse aging and cure health, basically, because the technology has been there for a long time to cure people of every disease. The pharmaceutical industry has stopped a lot of these kind of technologies, inventions getting out that would have cured a lot of things. But now it's coming out, and I found it very interesting one of the information I was getting was that President Trump issued a secret memorandum, to declassify over 1,000 patents that had been held up that were basically stopped because of national security orders. And there's a total of like 5,700 patents that have been kind of stopped in the application process. And these deal with everything you can imagine. But that over 1,000 of these Trump has kind of like targeted for release within the next 2 to 3 years. And so, I think within 3 years' time, there's going to be so many dramatic changes in terms of technologies like new energy, in terms of health, anti-aging, and that's going to kind of really give people a lot of hope. And then, of course, the economy is going to shift. So, I think, in 5 years' time, our planet's going to be very, very different.
Exactly. I feel the same way. There's just a few snags. It's almost like whack-a-mole, that game, you know. It's like we start going forward and the moles pop up and we didn't know who they are, but now they're revealing themselves, and each time they pop up to block what's going on, they get, you know, whacked down and taken care of. And I've seen the military, a lot of the generals, and that's something I want to ask you about. You might know more about that, but there seems to be layers upon layers of these generals. That it goes back to Eisenhower. I guess he put this group together that it was their job to step up to the plate if things degenerated and just got too much in the toilet, you might say, you know, with you know, the war industry and with the corruption in the political industry and everything else. And those guys are all seeming to come forward, and that's what's really making a big difference here.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that seems to be something involving the U.S. Marine Corps, that they were kind of given this special responsibility by Eisenhower to kind of like, you know, just to watch things, you know, because they do have a very important function, you know, like all of the diplomatic embassies, diplomatic posts, consulates and all of that. It's always U.S. Marine Corps that guard these things. So, you know, and so that's their responsibility to kind of like protect the republic, and so this is something that they are now kind of like going into action, and of course the Navy, you know, I mean, because the Marine Corps is actually part of the Department of the Navy, so the Navy really are the ones that are the ultimate constitutional guarantors. The Army has also played a positive role. The Air Force, unfortunately, those guys, a lot of them, you know, they've been totally compromised by the negative ETs because they have been making deals to kind of get these advanced technologies, and so they've been thoroughly compromised. The Air Force has worked very closely with the CIA because the CIA, you know, we know how badly compromised those guys are as well. But the CIA, I mean, they don't, you know, like the Navy doesn't let them in on their programs, and the Marine Corps watch them closely. So, yeah, there's a lot of white hats out there trying to kind of like clean up the American system. But, you know, there's, you know, the statistics I got were that the most compromised institutions are like the CIA, the NSA, Department of Homeland Security, 80% controlled by the cabal. The FBI are like 50-50, but the rest of the military are kind of, apart from the Air Force, but the rest of the military is kind of like very, you know, very solidly with the white hats.
Well, that's good news. I know I kept asking some of these high-level people, you know, when are the chemtrails going to be stopped, you know? And they said, well, that has to do with the CIA, you know, and the Air Force. And I said, well, that's a total... that's basically treason. I don't know how else, any other way you could put that, and you know, to continue with this program, you know, because they are not just making everybody ill and sick. They're actually, you know, it goes into genocide. You know, a lot of people are actually, you know, dying a slow death, albeit it is still ends up in death, and because all of these, you know, barium, aluminum, strontium, and all these other things, these molds they're playing with, you know, the weaponized molds and stuff, end up becoming accumulative. And people are, I mean, it almost took me out. Luckily, I finally found somebody that could actually identify what it was and take it out. But, you know, I'm seeing this stuff go on, and that was one of my main issues all the time. I go, when are you going to stop the chemtrails? You know, tell Trump, first priority, stop the chemtrails. Nothing else is going to be important if we're all sick and dead. You know, so, but I haven't heard back. You know, the only thing I heard is that the CIA and the Air Force are one of the things that really need to get cleaned up, which is what you're kind of validating, that's what's behind this.
Right, exactly. And one of the things that I've heard is that the Air Force is now starting to kind of like split over this issue of the Navy secret space program, that you know, the information I've been getting from Corey Good in particular is that that the Air Force guys, they've been kept in the dark about the Navy program, and that they've been, you know, thoroughly lied to, and, you know, being led down this track of working with the kind of more regressive ETs, working with the CIA, drug running, all of those kind of nasty things, chemtrails. But now the Air Force guys are starting to wake up that they've been massively lied to, and they're angry because, you know, these guys, you know, thought that they were doing the right thing. They thought that they were doing stuff, you know, that would kind of like, you know, maintain the national security, and that the big enemy out there was Russia, that Russia had its own space program, and that we had to kind of like prepare to kind of fight against them. But now they realize that they're being played for suckers, that the most advanced stuff was given to the Navy, that the Navy has these deep space interstellar fleets that basically go out there and do something, you know, very similar to what Star Trek was doing, and that the Air Force are kind of more or less just a kind of planetary coast guard. And so that's made them real angry, and so they're breaking ranks. They're starting to now go against the leadership that was getting them to do all this stuff. So now I think that the Air Force guys, you know, the white hats in the Air Force are going to start becoming more ascendant, and I think that a lot of the dark stuff that the Air Force have been doing, you know, chemtrails, the drug trade, and you know, the kind of military abductions, messing people up, that's going to now start to be reevaluated once they realize how much they're being played for suckers by the Majestic groups and the cabal.
That's great news, you know, because that is one of the missing elements that really needs to be, you know, cleaned up and taken care of. And I really hope the white hats, you know, in the Navy and the Marines and everything can kind of like go over there and say, hey, buddy, let's go out to dinner, have a few beers, and this is what's really going on. And are you with us, or do we have to shut this down? You know, so, you know, yeah, they're gonna have to do something of that nature to put an end to this, because it is, you know, people have a hard time understanding this. And I said, well, the best way you can think about it is, mostly humans do not do inhuman things unless they've been, you know, programmed to do so by non-humans. And there is a very large group of non-human beings here that care nothing for humanity or the Earth. They're just here to exploit us. They're self-serving. And that is why all these things are happening. And they've corrupted the highest levels, you know, of government, you know, even the religious institutions, business institutions, the ceremonies they do, you know, which goes into the satanic worshiping and the blood sacrifice, all those things tie them into these other beings, these other entities, which are non-human. And so if you understand this, then you can understand why you have projects like the chemtrails, you know, and things like that. But otherwise, they make no sense whatsoever, because you go, well, they're poisoning their own people, their own families. And, you know, I have to tell people, you know, these are not, they're not humans. You're applying human ideals and a human mindset to non-human entities that really care nothing. I mean, they're at war with creator and all creation, basically.
Right. Yeah. I found it very interesting. I started to do some research on, you know, psychopathology, and it was very interesting to find out that, you know, 1% of the population are kind of genetically hardwired to be psychopaths, and another 4% are sociopaths. And the difference is that the sociopath is just someone who kind of lacks empathy for others, just out of kind of like environmental factors, that they've been brought up in abusive homes or being programmed in that way. But the psychopaths, they're the ones that they're just genetically hardwired to do what they're doing. But that means that 95% of humanity are basically people that are capable of empathy, of caring for one another. And that means that, you know, essentially, you know, only the top tier is where these psychopaths and their sociopaths kind of minions operate, you know, in the business world or in the military or in the cabal, you know, wherever, or the religious community, that it's only the kind of like the leadership that, and they're only a small proportion of that institution, whatever it is. Most people in that institution truly do care. You know, like in the Catholic Church is a good example of, you know, basically it's a vast institution, and the majority of people in that institution are caring and compassionate, But it's just the psychopaths at the very top that do all the bad things, and it's the same in virtually every institution. And the big solution to that is kind of transparency, truth, and that's what we're all trying to do. Because when you have truth, when you have transparency, you know, these people that do these things, you know, they get exposed because, you know, they're just hardwired to do these things, whether it's kind of sexual abuse of minors or sex trafficking, drug abuse, whatever it is. You know, they're hardwired to do these things, and they get exposed, and then you just kind of like cart them off to wherever they need to be taken to be, you know, rehabilitated. And I think that's where we're going, is to just have the truth exposed and transparency brought in.
Yeah, I was talking to a good friend of mine, Winston Sraut. We were having a conversation about this, and I said, what is wrong with these people? What is it they don't understand about, you know, universal law and karma and things like that? How can they even do this, you know, to others? And how can other people work for them and allow them to do this? And he said something to me. He said, you haven't dealt with or hung around very many psychopaths, have you? And I said, you know, that was the answer. You know, I said, no, actually, I haven't. You know, but I do understand is that that's just like you're saying, they're hardwired and they're without empathy, and you can't reason with them. And I think sometimes the only thing that can be done with these people is to either isolate them or you know, have them disappear somehow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's probably how the big problems began here on Earth, that a lot of these elites, like the ones that were banished here, the fallen angels, you know, in the book of Genesis or Enoch, I think that was probably the solution that some of these races had, that, you know, they would send their psychopaths to the Earth to kind of like, you know, start again and give them another chance. But of course, you know, these psychopaths, they're just genetically hardwired, and they just went about you know, doing the same things that they've done on other worlds and created all sorts of problems. Because, you know, this is one of the things, you know, our solar system has a long history, that, you know, we had a planet in the asteroid belt that was once a thriving civilization, and that Mars and our moon were in orbit around that planet, and they were all inhabited and they were thriving civilizations. But, you know, these psychopaths led to these wars, and eventually that planet was destroyed, and Mars's atmosphere was decimated, and the moon was sent to the Earth and carrying a lot of the refugees from these worlds. And again, the psychopaths kind of like ended up on Earth, and they're doing the same thing that they did before. And it's like, you know, these people don't learn, because they're just hardwired that way to just mess things up. They're just so full of kind of, you know, that lust for power. And the rest of us, it's up to us to kind of like really bring these people to account, to expose them, and just to kind of like make sure that they stop creating these problems anymore. And it's a long, long, long history, and you know, we're kind of like going through that same cycle. But it looks like we're going to come out of it okay. It doesn't look like we're going to have a third world war. They've been trying to create a third world war, but somehow, you know, there have been enough kind of sensible people in positions of power to stop that. And, you know, and look at Trump. I think, you know, Trump, you know, he came in and he was saying, well, look, you know, we don't want to have a third world war with Russia. You know, let's talk to these guys. And you know, and of course, the Democrats were going the other way. They were saying, you know, how dare you? You know, Russia's the big enemy. You know, you should get NATO kind of right on the border and get troops there. It's just that's kind of madness. And Trump, you know, at least in that regard, I think he is, you know, quite correct that Russia is not the enemy. We need to make friends with Russia, and we shouldn't start a war with them, which is what, you know, the neocons and the Democratic Party have been doing for some time, trying to kind of like, you know, build up for a third world war. But thankfully, you know, I think Trump and the military, you know, they've won out, and we're not going to have a third world war with Russia.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but there's times where, you know, I almost wish we had a president like Putin, you know, considering the options. You know, the guy's brilliant. You know, I watched him, you know, how he just totally stopped the war in Syria. He did all these, All these things he's been doing is brilliant, and he's not responding to the, and even the assassinated his ambassadors and everything else. You know, he's keeping his cool, and he's going, no, I'm not going to do this third world war, and I think Trump is too. But and you know, you can people can call me a Russian lover or sympathizer, whatever. Considering the choices between Hillary and Obama, be honest with you, I'd rather have Putin, you know, in here. But and you know, and I mean, I wouldn't want to have Putin for president. I'd like to have an American for president. And too bad we didn't have one with Obama either. But that's another story. But the it's just getting interesting. All this stuff is unraveling, and these people, you know, the neocons and the Democrats that are trying to start these wars and everything. I don't know if you've noticed it, but when I look at them, these guys are coming unglued. I mean, they are being shown for the psychopaths that they are, but energetically, they look really sick and really ill. They have no life force, and they're not making sense. They're not even coherent. And I think that has a lot to do with this shift that's going on, is that they're not frequency specific to the evolution of Earth and where she's going, and they're just falling apart. I wonder if you've been seeing the same thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think like a lot of these people that are in the cabal, the Illuminati, they've been used to kind of like manipulating power for a long time, and being able to kind of like suck up people's energies, people's vital energy. But now, what we're having is people that are waking up. They're not kind of surrendering their power to the cabal, and the cabal's kind of like economic lifeblood is drying up. You know, that's always been their big source of power, as well as kind of like manipulating the media and the cultural kind of and the religion and so forth. But you know, the that economic power has always been their lifeblood, but now that's drying up. It's being cut off systematically. They are losing that that lifeblood that keeps them going, and that's why there have been so many major defections, so many kind of like important cogs in that, you know, cabal global network has fallen apart and has gone over to the White Hats. And so these guys are being cut off from their main sources of power. And so yeah, they, you know, I mean, they're losing it. You know, they really don't have much time left. I really think that, you know, they're really on their last legs, and that the kind of White Hats and people's awareness is just rising so quickly. You know, the leaks that are happening now, because with all of these leaks, you know, people are still struggling to make sense of the leaks. But you know, people wrongly assume that the leaks are for the benefit of the masses, and you know, that's partly true. But what the leaks do is it gives the White Hats ammunition to use against these black hats, because now the White Hats know, you know, that oh, okay, so this is what the CIA's been doing. You know, that they've been kind of like you know, putting all of this all these Trojans into the kind of Apple phone and Samsung and all of these things and into the TV so that they can spy. So it's like everything is being leaked, and so the White Hats are getting more and more information. You know, one of the things that Corey Good did in one of the information he gave me in one of the briefing in Hawaii recently. There's a series of articles I put on my website, but one of the briefings he gave me talked about Antarctica, like what's going on down in Antarctica, and basically what he, you know, what he shared was that. You know, he was very specific in terms of, you know, different locations for where the cabal had their bases, and that they were putting together this basically like an Area 51, an Antarctica version of Area 51, where they had all of these top secret programs to try and kind of like get access to these alien artifacts that go back 50,000-60,000 years. And to kind of like reverse engineer these for weapons programs. Well, in revealing this information, now the White Hats know what was going on down in Antarctica. So now they're able to kind of like go down there and kind of like with more precision target these remaining cabal Illuminati bases down there in Antarctica and take out everything that they were doing.
That's great. Yeah, there's going to be nowhere to hide because There's like Trent, there's like interdimensional forces at play here, and they know what's going on. That was one of the, they said in the edict, they told him that. They said, there's nowhere to hide. You can't go to your underground bases. You can't go to other colonies. You're not leaving the Earth, and you're going to have to, swim in the mess you created. Just, right along, right along with everybody else, which isn't going to turn out good when. When you're in a big mess right there, and everybody else in there knows that you created it, it's not going to be too good. And that's, I guess, that's their karma. But going back to Antarctica, now there's things that have happened on this planet, and I've seen some of them in Australia. There's a lot of evidence written on walls there with the Ingosford glyphs and things like that that tell the whole history of Earth. And the Aboriginal people, they don't do time very well, but a lot of times, they have the legends of Atlantis and Lemuria and all of that. I guess they're the one continent that stayed above the water. It's one of the most ancient continents, and a lot of the things are still there. But the history of Earth, I mean, it sounds like there's been several interventions going back, at least 500,000 years. And different groups coming here, and some groups were just a bunch of scientists tinkering, with humanity, and others, and some of those were positive, some were negative, and we have this big, oh God, I don't know, like a dichotomy or something going on where we have these images of God, we have like Enki and Enlil. And Enki's the all-loving creator god, the god that loves his creations and wants them to flourish. They have Enlil, who's the general, the warrior, and he wanted to end the experiment, start over, clean the slate. And so we have these images of this jealous, wrathful god that is a genocidal maniac, and then you have this all-loving, all-forgiving god, and that same archetype has been played out throughout. History going back 500,000 years. And a lot of times when I tell people this, I said, if you have an image of a bearded god, you're going back to one of these groups, one of the Anunnaki, which means those who came from heaven to earth. Basically, there's different groups that fall into that category. But and it really shocked someone. I said, all of the religions have an image of this bearded god. And it all goes back to these Anunnaki, and it depends on how they behaved. If they were all loving and all forgiving, you had an all loving, all forgiving God. If you had a tyrant, that's the foundation of your religion. And I think that is one of the real problems we're having with some of these religions that are very violent, and harmful, you might say. Where you cut off hands and heads and just, totally demonize women and that whole thing where they have no rights whatsoever. It all goes back to just basically the beliefs of a certain being and his followers and how they behave, basically.
Well, that's going to be really the thing that's going to be really fascinating to see how all of these major religions react to official announcements about extraterrestrial life and the real history of humanity, that we're a bioengineered race. I think the Vatican has actually done things to prepare itself for that once the truth comes out, that humans are kind of like, we are hybrids, all of us are extraterrestrial hybrids, that the pure blood humans are the inner earth beings that have been there for hundreds of thousands or even millions of years in some cases in the inner earth, where they escaped ancient catastrophes and they built flourishing civilizations down there and kept the ancient wisdom and the ancient bloodlines pure. But we on the surface, we're the remnants or we're the survivors of these ancient catastrophes. And, roughly 500,000 years ago, you had the different ET groups coming here and genetically tinkering with us. And so, Alex and Alex Collier and Corey Good both say that, there's 22 different genetic experiments that have been happening over the last 500,000 years on the surface. So we are all genetic hybrids. Now, what's the truth going to do for the the major religions. You know, when they find out that, oh, okay, these different ET groups came here and they created us. It wasn't an all-powerful God that created us, that it was these ET groups. What does that mean? And, you know, that's going to be really that's going to be a challenge for a lot of religions. The Catholic Church, you have to give them credit, but maybe not so much credit because they've been part of the cover-up for a long time. But they're ready. I mean, Pope Francis, in October of 2015, I believe, he passed and he issued an encyclical where he talked about evolution, and basically he embraced an idea of evolution, of universal evolution, where he referred to extraterrestrials. He didn't use the term extraterrestrial. He used the term, quote, beings of the universe. But he basically said that these beings in the universe can play a critical role in God's plan and in evolution itself. So right there, he laid the foundation so that when the truth is revealed that, you know, humanity is a hybrid species that has been genetically engineered by these extraterrestrials, Pope Francis will turn around and say, oh, no problem, we already worked that out. You just go to my encyclical from 2015 and we talk about it right there. That, yeah, we know that the extraterrestrials bioengineered us, but, you know, who created the extraterrestrials? That was God, and God used them for his plan. And the extraterrestrials, we're working with them to realize God's great plan. And so they're going to come up with a new iteration of the Catholic or Christianity. And it'll be fascinating to see how the others do it, how the Muslims do it, how the Buddhists do it, how the Shintoists do it. It's going to be fascinating.
I notice when I give my lectures and I talk to people, some will come out and go, you know what, that does fit into our, you know, the Shinto beliefs and things like that. It does fit into that. Because I cover everything from the nature spirits and the elves and fairies and all the way through to the ETs and all the different dimensions and the inner earth people and everything. And, you know, they don't have a problem with it. I know in Mexico, when I go down there, they really don't have a problem. The ET thing is just a kind of a given. You know, they accept that part of it. You know, although a lot of them are programmed, you know, into the... But I notice a lot of Catholics here. I have had people call in here. The Catholics that have come over here are struggling with it. But when you go to Mexico or things like that, I think it's because they're afraid to rock the boat here, you know, because they're afraid of repercussions or something. But it's just interesting watching all this unfold and how it's playing out. But it's, I'm probably, you might get some of the same. I mean, I get incredible hate mail, you know, like saying that my ranch needs to be cleansed with the blood of Christ, and how dare take Jesus away from them. And I said, I'm not trying to take Jesus away from you. I'm just telling your God's a little bigger and a little more creative than you thought, you know? I said, I'm really not trying to take your masters away from you. I'm just saying there's more to the story.
Well, and, you know, this is the big problem with a lot of the evangelical groups. And, you know, there's been some guys, Chris Putnam, Tom Horn, these guys have been putting out a lot of material. Some of it's, you know, really well researched, but essentially, it says that ETs are these demons in the flesh. That there's no such thing as positive, loving, caring ETs. That these are just demons in disguise, and that anyone talking about positive extraterrestrial groups are basically enabling these demons here to kind of take us over. And, you know, these guys, they're going to have a real tough time when the truth is revealed, because they are trying to get people to shoot at the ETs and say that, you know, that these are demons. And the truth is that a lot of, you know, and this is something that hopefully my book will help contribute to. I know you've been doing that for a long time with what everything you've been putting out at the ranch, that there are positive extraterrestrial groups, you know, these naughty groups that look just like us and that have been helping us from behind the scenes, and that, you know, when it comes out that these guys have been helping the Navy, that the Navy have achieved their space program through the help of these positive extraterrestrial groups, you know, hopefully that'll help calm some of these people down, these evangelical Christians that are, you know, all ready to, you know, start shooting at the ETs with their AR-15s or whatever.
Yeah, I just told them it's first of all, it's not a good idea because they're a lot more advanced than anything you're going to throw at them, you know. And the good thing they're benevolent, or you'd probably be toast, you know, pulling a stunt like that. But second of all, I said if these people are involved in the awakening and healing of humanity, the Earth, and they're here to help us restore the planet, then how on earth can you see yourself as you know, supportive of that or a beneficial, you know, I don't know, you're not, you know, beneficial to that or whatever. It makes no sense at all. And why would any benevolent being come and land on this planet or even materialize as a spirit, you know, and come into the physical with that mindset? I mean, that same mindset is the same mindset that killed Jesus. And it's no different today, you know, than it is, you know, a couple thousand years ago.
Right, exactly. So I think you know, this is a steep learning curve for a lot of people that have been ignoring this material. But you know, the people are kind of waking up. I'm very encouraged with you know, what I've seen with the secret space program material. You know, how a lot of people in the New Age community are embracing that now. That you know, a lot of people thought that the whole kind of UFO ET phenomenon was dark conspiracy stuff, but now a lot of the kind of light workers, you know, the New Age group, are embracing this. That they see, oh yes, some of these ET groups, that they're very benevolent, very positive, and they're here to help us. And yeah, that fits in with our kind of you know, expansion of consciousness and, you know, bringing in this New Age. So I think that's also another positive trend that seems to be growing. And I know that, like, for example, the Secret Space Program series that Corey's been involved with David Wilcock for a couple of years now, that it's being picked up by one of the cable networks. I think it's what was that? One of the I can't remember the name of the Comcast. Comcast, yeah, they're
Oh,
picking it
yeah.
up. So
That's good.
that means that now all of a sudden millions of people are going to start learning about this secret space program and these positive extraterrestrial groups that are helping us.
Sounds good. You know, we've just got a couple minutes left, so I want to make sure and put out the information so people can contact you and support your work, and also get, you know, get a hold of some of your books and your latest book that you brought out.
Sure, they can go to my site, exopolitics.org, and they can get to see all the articles that I have there. I think it's around 500 articles now that are up there on exopolitics.org. Also, the new book, the U.S. Navy's Secret Space Program and Nordic Extraterrestrial Alliance. You can get autographed copies from my website, or you can just go to Amazon. Just type in my name and it'll come up, and, you know, with all my books. And yeah, it's really helping, having shows like yours kind of like give coverage to this kind of material. So I want to thank you again, James, for having me on the show, and just kind of keep doing what you've been doing all these years. It's wonderful to be working with you.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be working closer in the future. There's so much going on, and you know, things are going to get sorted out here, and I think there's going to be a major push, you know, to get this information out and bring in these new technologies, especially the new healing technologies. I'm very interested in those. But anyway, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and keep up the great work, and we'll stay in touch.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha. All right. Not out of time, unfortunately. We've got to sign off. This is James Gillum with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. Have a great evening. Stay in the heart. That's the only thing that's really important right now. And don't let your mind take you off in all these crazy directions, because your heart is where your soul resides, and your soul is connected to the source. And that's where we need to be getting our information and acting on it. So anyway, have a great evening. Good night.
Hi, hi.